I want you to find Genesis chapter 9. I want you to also find Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to go there as well. Amen. And let me find it also. It's in there somewhere, amen. Amen. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, amen. I'm going to mark it so I can get there quick. All right, we there? All right, Genesis 9, let's stand two verses, verse 28 and 29. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years. And he died. Hold your hand here. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die.
Amen.
Think about that. Let's pray. Father, I need you this evening. I pray that you'd please fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Lord, you know my heart's desire. I want to be used of thee to be a blessing to your people. And Lord, I know you've already worked in my heart through this message, and I pray that you'd work in the hearts of your people as well. And Father, help us, Lord, in this journey that we call life, this earthly journey you've given to us. Lord, I believe all of us want to finish well. And so help us as we look at some things this evening about this journey. I need you this evening, lead and direct all that I say and do. And I pray this message would be a challenge to all of us. Amen. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For every believer, we know where this journey ends.
Amen.
Y'all be excited about that. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, we know where our journey will end. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
In many ways. It's going to end in heaven. It's going to end in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that moment where we close our eyes on this earth and wake up in the presence of our God?
Praise
I hope you know I'm a Savior tonight.
2
Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul says, I know it's going to happen when this earthly journey is over, when this tabernacle is dissolved, I'm going to be in heaven with a new tabernacle.
Amen.
He says, I'm confident about that. So we know where this journey will end, but we do not know some things about this journey, do we? We don't know how it's going to end. How's it going to end for you? You have the same answer I do. I don't know. When is it going to end? It's another answer we don't have. We don't know. You know, every season of life brings its unique challenges, does it not? The teenage years have their unique challenges. Parents of teenagers, unique challenges. Newlyweds, they have their unique challenges. When you get married and that whole your life changes dramatically, you face challenges. Parents of young children have their challenges as well when those little ones are very needy and they're running around and they have you. You have to provide for everything, so to speak. Challenges. But they don't end there. Midlife has its challenges as well. And may I say the latter years brings its challenges. Tonight I'd like to preach about one particular season of life. A season that perhaps we could say that not all believers will experience, but many do. Most of us do. Most of us will. It is a season that we know from what we read that Noah himself experienced, and I will call this season tonight the sunset season. Amen. The sunset season of life, those latter years. And tonight I'd like to preach on this thought. If you like titles, here it is: Savoring the Sunset Season of Life. Can I ask you tonight, if you're in that season, are you savoring it? Could you say that this season is the best season of my life? Or perhaps you're not savoring it. May I say this as well? You should.
Amen.
You should savor it.
Right.
Because it's a time to be savored. Amen. Portion of a poem by Henry Van Dyke Jr. He was an American author, an educator, a preacher in the 1800s. Listen to what he said. Through rough or smooth, the journey will be joy.
Amen.
Still seeking what I sought when but a boy, I shall grow old but never lose life's zest. But the road's last turn will be the best.
Amen.
Will it be? And is it?
You
know, for those of us who God allows to experience this season of life, I want to ask us this evening, I want to challenge it. How are you dealing with it? Because there's challenges there, are there not? We're going to talk about them tonight. Will you be pleasing to the Lord in this season of your life? I hope so. Tonight I want to, again, I think it was Harry Irons, I forget who it was, and some presidents did it too, had a fireside chat, amen? I want to speak on that subject. Let's consider some things about this season of life that I think we can, as we think about Noah in his life, that could probably help us. Notice number one, the age to which Noah lived. Noah lived a long time. Notice we read in verse 28, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. The Bible divides Noah's life into two segments, before the flood and after the flood. 600 years old he was when the flood occurred. But Noah, understand, after the flood would live another, as the Bible says in verse 28, he lived after the flood, notice, 350 years. So Noah lived on this earth. Imagine this, 950 years.
Amen.
That's perhaps 10 times the amount of anybody in this room. That's a long time. I'm not sure if I want to live 960 years on this earth. How many are thinking the same thing? Amen? You know, only two men lived longer than Noah did back in Genesis 5. Look back there, if you would, please. The first one is a man named Jared. I like that name. It's my son's name, if you don't know. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 20. Jared was Noah's great-great-grandfather. And notice, he lived 962 years. The second one is Methuselah. Genesis 5, 27, who was Noah's grandfather. He lived 969 years. You know, in case you'd like to know the genealogy from Adam, you may not. So if not, just take a nap for the next 2 minutes. But come back after the 2 minutes. Adam lived to be 930. Look at Genesis chapter 5. It goes through this. Seth, 912, his son. Enos, 905. Canaan, 910. Mahalalel, he lived to be 895. Jared, 962. Enoch, 622. Here's a young one. Enoch lived to be 365. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. You say, that's a young man, according to that. That's true. Enoch got raptured. God took him out of this world. Enoch had a son named Methuselah. Methuselah lived 969. Lamech lived 777. And then his son Noah, 950. So if you were to do the math, think this through for a moment, and I'm saying this for a reason, Noah lived up to the 58th year of Abraham. We don't normally associate those two, do we? We think there's Noah way down here and there's Abraham way over here. No. Noah and Abraham were alive together. In fact, Noah lived until his 58th year, only 17 years after Noah's death. God would call Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. But look at Genesis chapter 11. We're just scanning it here for a moment. And we see about verse 10, some more genealogies that we notice that after the flood, the lifespan of man would dramatically decrease. Why is that? Well, many Bible scholars believe that it had to do with the great change in the atmosphere. The firmament was gone, that greenhouse type thing that caused longevity. And that canopy was gone, and of course it caused lesser lifespans, if you will. And so we see that Noah's sons only lived, I speak tongue in cheek, to 600. Three men lived to their 400s. Four men in Genesis 11, 200s. Abraham to 175. Jacob lived to 147. Then Joseph lives to 110. What do we see? Less and less lifespans. Then when we get to Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10, we read the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. So God says now, after all the flood and time passes, that the average age of a man is going to be 70 years old. And if it's longer, that's because God is blessing. My point is this, when we think of Noah, Noah lived a long time. God blessed Noah with many years. Amen. You know, contrary to popular belief, long life is a blessing from God. Amen. You say, I don't know about that. It is. I think of some of the folks in our congregation. I think of Lib Maloney, 99 years old. Praise the Lord. What a blessing that is. I think of Brother Barry Hill, 93, right, Brother Barry Hill? 93 years old. Amen. What a blessing. And still shouting from the back. Amen. Amen. He didn't have to say what one time there. But you know, the more time we have on earth, think about it this way, the more time we have to serve the Lord. The more time we have to influence others for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more time we have to be an influence and a testimony on our future generations, to our children and their children and their children and so forth. And so we ought to have the right attitude towards age. Can I ask you tonight, do you? Do you see the longevity of your life as a blessing from God? Or do you see it as a curse? If you're seeing it as a curse, then you are not savoring the sunset season of life. Because God left you here to be a blessing to others, to influence others for Christ, to be a testimony to the future generations for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason you're still here is because God's not done with you. Let me show you a verse. Go over to Philippians chapter 1. I wasn't going to go there, but we'll go there. Philippians chapter 1. Notice what Paul said. And we ought to have this idea about life in our minds as well. Philippians 1 and verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better.
Amen.
I think you understand what he's saying.
Amen.
If I had it my way, I'd rather be in heaven. I think most of us would say that. Amen. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two because there's a part of me that knows heaven is much better. There's peace and joy and no more pain and no more trials and no more sin nature in heaven. It's all there and I have a desire to be there. But in verse 22, verse 24, nevertheless to abide in the flesh, watch this, is more needful for you. Paul understood why God had left him here. Paul understood why God gave him years. It's because God had more for him to do in this world. And may I say this evening that no matter how old you are tonight, if you're here living and breathing, God is not done with you yet.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged about the latter years.
Amen.
God still has more for you. And the years that God has given to you, you can be such a blessing to others.
Amen.
The question is, are you? Have you become sour? Have you become bitter? It can happen. So we see, number one, the age which Noah lived. Notice, secondly, also, I want us to consider the changes that Noah experienced. You know, living as long as Noah lived, he saw many changes.
Amen.
I remember when I was young and younger. No, but a few people caught that. I said, I remember when I was young, and I just changed it to younger. You'll get it later. Maybe it wasn't as funny as I thought. I thought that was pretty good. I used to think, boy, those old people, all they do is talk about the past. All they talk about is the way things used to be. Well, may I say this, young person, life changes as you get older.
Amen.
Things change. And understand, the more years that God gives to you, just like he did with Noah, the more years that you get, understand the more changes you're going to face, which brings more challenges to your life.
Amen.
You may think, well, when I get older, I'm going to have this Christian life down, you know. No more problems, no more challenges. Oh, no, you're going to have challenges in every phase of life. In every season of life. And understand, these changes as life progresses, as years go on, bring great challenges to our faith.
Amen.
I want you to think of three changes that we have to live through as we age. Number one is this: we have changes in relationships.
Right.
You know, since only two men lived longer than Noah did, Noah saw a lot of people leave this world.
Right.
He did. The flood took every person that Noah knew. Outside of his family, everybody, every late relationship that Noah had was gone. Neighbors were gone. Acquaintances were gone. People he worked with were gone. But even after the flood, notice Genesis 9, 350 years. I'm sure Noah experienced the loss of friends and relatives and loved ones, people that left this world and went on to eternity before him. By the way, that is what happens as you get older. You watch people that you served with go to heaven. You watch people that you walked with and did things with go to heaven. As you age, loved ones, people you're close to, friends, spouses, parents, siblings, one by one, as you age, you watch people slip off into eternity. And may I say this, the loneliness that brings is a huge challenge to our faith. If you don't think so, just wait. It's going to happen. I think of just recently, our dear sister Doris Hutchinson. You know, Bob is experiencing a great change in his life.
Amen.
We could go on. We could talk about, of course, Marsha LeDuc. We could talk about Les Finney. We could talk about Clyde Branson. On and on we could go. We could name people that have recently, just recently, had spouses go to heaven. Understand, their lives are changing dramatically. I mean, someone they spent decades with, someone their lives meshed together. They were as one flesh for so many years, are now gone. I remember watching my mother go through that when my dad passed away, and it was tough. I mean, life got different. Relationships got different. I mean, her whole life had to be restructured, in a sense, because of the loss. That's a challenge to our faith as we progress into the sunset years of life. And if we're not dealing with it right, we're going to get sour. So there could be a change in his relationships. Noah saw so many people, 950 years, no doubt. He saw so many people go. There's a second thing I want you to think about. Noah lived through changes not only in his relationships, but also in his body. I used to think I was Superman in my 20s. Don't laugh, so did you. I can play any sport. I can lift anything. I can do it, man. If I just put my mind to it, I just go out there, I can do it. Nothing's going to stop me. Nobody's going to stop me. That changes. It changes. You know, there are some people in the Bible who were full of strength when they died. It's interesting. That's the phrase the Bible uses. In other words, when they died, their bodies, generally speaking, were still strong. Moses was one of them. Deuteronomy 34:7, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. So that does happen. Praise the Lord for that. It doesn't happen often. But we're not told that of Noah. All we read here is that, and he died. Which means after the flood and those 350 years were progressing, I would imagine Noah went through the natural things that all of us go through. His body began to age. Yes, some people leave this world full of strength, but most of us don't. Most of us will go through the degenerative changes that take place in the human body. And by the way, that's not fun. It's a challenge. It's a challenge when you get to that place when you can't do what you used to do, although you want to do it, although you think you can do it. You can't. You just can't. It's a challenge when the body does not work like it once used to, and things break down in the body that used to function well. And again, that challenges our faith, does it not? You don't think so? Just ask somebody. You know, I think of our prayer list and I think of that chronic list because I think of those people that have to deal with pain every single day of their lives because of the aging of the body. There's not a day they don't get up that something doesn't hurt. In fact, it's a blessing for them to just get out of bed and do something. If you don't think that's a challenge to your faith, you just wait and see if it happens to you. And I hope it happens to none of us, but it does so many times. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 because it's kind of interesting. We did a Sunday school lesson on this. And I'm not going to read it all, but it describes really in metaphor form the aging process. Look at verse 3. In the day when the keepers of this house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, look at this, and the grinders cease. What's that talking about? Your teeth. Well, that's a joy, isn't it? Your teeth start falling out. You say, well, I'm going to brush mine. Go ahead and brush away. Brush away. And you should. I'm glad when you do. Amen. But that doesn't stop it. You know, we had the missions conference booklet, and we were laughing. My wife was kind of laughing. You know my wife. She's I love her, and she has a way of just saying it. You know what I'm saying? That's okay. And she opened it up when I said, honey, I got the booklets for the missions conference. Hey, check them out. How nice they are. She opens it up, and there it is, this picture of me from, I guess it was 12 years ago. And she said, who's that? Actually, the phrase she used was this. You need to do something about this picture. Because that's not you anymore. That's what she said. I said, thank you for the words of encouragement. There's my helpmate. Amen. But it happens to all of us. The body breaks down. We don't see like we used to see. We don't hear like we used to hear. Our joints don't bend like they used to bend. We're not as strong as we used to be. These are changes that longevity brings and brings challenges to all of us. Challenges to our faith. I'm sure Noah faced it. The breaking down of the body. There's a third change that Noah faced and that we all face during this. Not only the change in his relationships, the change in his body, but also the changes in his world. Noah lived 350 years after the flood. You know what that means? That means that Noah saw before his very eyes the reclaiming and rebuilding of the earth after the flood. Now think this through with me for a moment. Here he is. He gets off the ark. His family gets off the ark. Man, it was as fresh as could be. I mean, a brand new world. There was a new innocence, if you will. All the corruption had been purged. Man, it was a wonderful time. And I would imagine if you know, that Noah and his family began to worship. Man, it was a great time. But things changed as time progressed. And may I say, not for the better. Noah, before his very eyes, saw a fresh, brand new, innocent world with his family worshiping God. And he watched it as it digressed to be corrupt as it once was before the flood. Amen. And the world that Noah once knew after the flood changed. Think about that. You know, he saw the Tower of Babel. He saw all of that stuff. Corruption. And he had to deal with it. Who would have ever thought that America would change as it's changed in the past 50 to 75 years? I know what you're saying, teenager. You're speaking like an old man now. Maybe I am. You know, when I was young and I went to public school, you know what the three biggest problems was in my public school? By the way, we had dress codes in my public school. Amen. We couldn't wear jeans to school. Nobody wore jeans. We had to wear pants and so forth. You know the three biggest problems were this: chewing gum, spitballs, and talking in class. That was it. Now, spitballs, they were pretty mean. Especially after lunch, you could save the straw from the milk that they used to give you, and you'd shoot them when they showed the film strip. You remember that, and it was dark. How many know what I'm talking about right there? Am I the only one that did that? Maybe I should go into the confession booth here. But who would have ever thought that in America we would see massive shootings of children in our public schools?
Right.
Who'd ever thought? Who would have ever thought that we would be seeing people marrying someone of the same sex? Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that we would see people having elective surgery to remove and add body parts so that they can be identified with the opposite sex of their birth? What is that? Legalization of recreational marijuana. Not quite here in Delaware, medicinal, but pushing for that, and it's already in several other states. People running for government with a socialist agenda, a socialist platform, and getting votes. Getting a following. What in the world? Lack of character we see in America, the lack of work ethic we see in America, and the way people can't even speak to one another anymore without violence.
Amen.
My point is this: the America that you and I once knew is no more. And the older you get, understand something very important. The more changes in you in this world you see, and may I remind us, not for the better. And this brings great challenges to our faith in this sunset season of our life. Changes in relationships. Changes in our body. And changes in our world. Which leads me to number three, and we're done. Not only the age to which Noah lived, not only the changes that Noah experienced, notice lastly the dangers that Noah faced. As I've already said, with every season of life comes challenges. And if we are not careful during this season of life, these latter years, instead of savoring this season of life, as I've already said, we can become sour. And there's many that have. They come to the end of their life, and instead of it being the best time of their life, the most productive Christian time in their life, they get bitter and sour about life. Why? Let me give you two of many. I could be here for another hour, but two dangerous traps that believers in the sunset of life fall into, and here they are. Please note them because it's very important. Don't fall into these traps if you want to savor those sunset season of life. Amen. Number one is this. There's a loss of purpose. There's a loss of purpose. Because of all the changes that take place in relationships, in our bodies, and in this world, understand it's very dangerous, because what can happen and does happen to many people is they take a what's the use attitude towards life. What's the point? And you lose your purpose in this world, thinking, well, I guess God's done with me. And I'm just going to ride it out till Jesus comes. And you stop serving God. You stop living for God. You stop trying to make a difference in this world. And you lose your zeal for God. May I remind us tonight that if you are still here, then God has a purpose for your life in this world. Now, you may not do the same things you used to do, but God still has a purpose. He's not done with you yet. You're still here. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get discouraged by all these changes in the latter season of life that you have to face. Understand the battle is not over until we meet the Lord. Amen. You know, when I used to play sports, I used to hate it when someone give up at the end. Just give up. I'd say, don't give up. It's not over. Play hard until the last second. Give it your all. Give everything you can, no matter what you have. It may be just this little, but give it all to God. Amen. Amen. Right. That's what we're to do in life. Amen. Right. Don't slack up. Do what you can. Amen. So there's a danger of loss of purpose. There's another one, as that is this. There's a danger of loneliness. You know, it can get lonely. Amen. In that season of life. Friends are in heaven. Spouses are in heaven, perhaps. Things are not the same. By the way, Paul experienced that at the end of his life. 2 Timothy 4:11. Read it closely. He says, only Luke is with me. Amen. Everybody else is gone. They're gone. And you have to beware of the danger, if you will, of loneliness. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, what you used to have, or what you used to do, focus on what you do have and what you can do. Right. You know, it's very easy to curl up in a little ball in the latter season of life of self-pity. And just exist. You say, well, that's not going to be me. You watch, and when the challenges come, it just might be you. Don't squander this season of life. Amen. Savor it. Stop looking inside. Stop looking at yourself. Stop, and I'm not trying to be mean tonight. Stop having a pity party. Do what you can do for God. Be faithful to church. Call people up. Encourage others. Do something for the Lord. Because you're still here. Be the best Christian you can be right to the end. You see, by God's grace, make this time of your life the most productive, the most fruitful, and the best time ever. Amen. It can be. So, preacher, you just don't understand. I understand. I do. This is part of the journey. This is part of the season that God has appointed for you. There's a time to live and a time to die. And you're not there yet. At least you don't appear to be anyway. Live for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Helen Keller was once asked this, and I'll close with this. How do you hope to approach old age? She lived to 87. She said, do not stale your days by taking for granted the people about you, or the things which make up your environment, and you will ever abide in a realm of fadeless beauty. Age is an individual experience. Everybody discovers its mountain peaks or its gloomy depths according to his or her temperament. It is as natural for me to believe that the richest harvest of happiness comes with age. I want to ask you tonight, are you savoring these latter years? Well, perhaps for some of us, I will ask this. Will you savor those latter years? You see, God help us all to meet the challenges of this season of life by faith. Amen. Let's pray together.